I know there's some others of you out there just kind of waiting. You know, is God really wanting me to say this? Yeah, he is.
Okay, I want you to tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Callie Johnson. I'm from Aurora, Colorado.
And what did God do for you?
I have a testimony, so I'm going to need this mic real quick. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I just want to thank our leaders. Lisa and Steve McMillan. We're from Colorado Christian Fellowship. And the Cleansing Stream class hadn't been offered at our church before, and they had taken it, and when they announced that it was going to be available at our church, God was like, you need to take that class. You need to take it. And so they were very diligent. They always prayed for us. You know, they called us to make sure that everything was okay. And the second week that we were in class, I fell and I hurt my foot. And then it got infected, and they were just praying with me and checking on me and making sure that everything was okay. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it here to the Cleansing Stream because they didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if they were going to give me the medication that I needed to be able to come, but they were praying with me, and everybody in our class was praying with me so that, you know, I could be able to come and everything. And I just want to thank them so much for bringing this, you know, for bringing the Cleansing Stream to our church, because I didn't know that I was so selfish. And the Lord just delivered me from a lot of selfishness that I had yesterday and a lot of unforgiveness that was just built up in my body. And so I didn't know that the little grape juices on the end were for us to do at the end. And I was thirsty. And I... And so I picked up one of the grape juices and I was drinking it. And as soon as I drank the grape juice, I came back up here to walk so that we can go to one of the anointers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can walk and it doesn't hurt. I was like, I want another one. So I just want to thank you all for having the Cleansing Stream here, for you all hosting, for everyone who was on the intercessor team, everyone who was anointing us, everyone that was praying here for us, you, your husband, everybody. I thank you all for letting us be able to come to your church and inviting us here. It's a beautiful church home, and we love it here, and I just want to thank you all very much.
We want her to come back, don't we? Thank you.
My name's Linda, and this is my home. This is my first year of being an intercessor. I did Cleansing Streams for the first time, Cleansing Stream, for the first time last year. And I will tell you that being an intercessor gave me more breakthrough than being a participant. And I think that's all because of God's timing. And one of the first things he does is he pulls off all the layers of the stuff that you know has been affecting you. Then he shows you the different ways that you affect other people. And then he really starts getting deep with you. So I came in this year knowing that I was going to be supporting all the people that had things that God was going to be pulling off of them, and just supporting the leadership team on all levels and just kind of giving them the protection that only the Holy Spirit knows that they're going to need, and just standing in that gap for them. But at the same time, he'll pinpoint and say, go up for that, go up for prayer for that. Just, you know, cover your bases on these things. And he points them out to you. So I'll give you a little more insight. I was offended at my brother-in-law, and I wasn't really sure why. I just knew that so consistently I was just angry with him. And some things were righteously so, some things not so much, and I just wanted to surrender that over to him. And Sean helped me out a lot. The Holy Spirit really utilized him to peel back some deep stuff. When I was 3 years old, my parents got a divorce, and I never really realized that that did affect me. I had a tremendously broken heart, and I had no idea. And when I say I had no idea, I really mean it. It was a serious shock to me when that layer was pulled off. We prayed for healing right away, and I already knew that this was in the Lord's hands, and it will be taken care of. But he will allow you to feel what it is that was affecting you. And so, yes, I have a very tender and broken heart right now, but it is already healed, and I feel so much better. It's real, and I'm hurt. And so my real issue wasn't the offense. That's just what brought about my realization that I had some deep suppression issues that I was fully blind to. And he brought me yesterday to a realization that if I hadn't have gone through Cleansing Streams last year and just the process he brought me through, I would not have been able to deal with these suppression issues in a healthy way today. And so the Lord is faithful, and he is kind, and he is sensitive to the way that we are made and the way that we work and even the way that we deal with things. So thank you, Father. And thank you for everybody who is willing to just open themselves up to the Holy Spirit to pull off these layers for people.
Amen, amen. She's free. Hallelujah. Next.
I'm Matt. I'm another one of the hometown crowd here. And yeah, at this retreat, tried to make it last year to the big one-day event and ended up everybody else at my work needed the weekend off for various things, and I just kind of got stuck with work. So I was in here, like, running over my breaks from City Market, being like, okay, thank you, God, thank you. And, you know, got a little bit of the time there, and, you know, definitely was working on shame last year. And this year, again, it came time for the, you know, the work on shame there. And I got a fun anointer there, and you know, she definitely had me pinned pretty good with God there. And like, so, are you sure it's God? I'm like, can I please answer another question? No, pass. And I was like, no, we're going to deal with this. Like, okay. Dug deep and thinking, praying. She's saying, praying with me. And, you know, came out of her mouth first. They're like, are you still ashamed about your divorce? And I opened my mouth and, you know, chirp, chirp, crickets, you could hear them. And it was just horrible, this realization that I had not forgiven myself with the shame of the divorce and all that, and just where I stood with that. And it was one of those layers where, yeah, I didn't know it was there. I really didn't. And so, free of the shame of that, and just working on what else God has for me.
Hallelujah. All right.
My name's Justin. I could stand up here for probably all afternoon and tell you what led me to Cleansing Streams yesterday, but I won't do that. Me and my wife attended it. When I first started coming to this church about two months ago, we were separated. We were in different towns, and we were done and done. And I started coming here, and many things happened over the first several weeks of our separation, and the day that I felt God telling me to bring her back was Easter Sunday after church. And I brought her back, and that was the second night of cleansing stream starting. And she wanted to do it, and so I did it with her, thinking I really didn't need it. I was just going to do it just to go along with her and support her through it. And it turns out I probably needed it as much as she did. And I guess my testimony would be mostly about the spiritual warfare that was just unbelievable. Very rough 6 weeks. The day after our first session, Dave warned me, said, you know, just be ready. You might get fired up tomorrow. And I was like, all right, whatever. You know, I really didn't think much of it. And that next day was just hellacious. I'm surprised both of us made it through it. I lost control. Like, I have never lost control in my life. And there was no reason why, except for just an all-out attack. And we were attacked constantly for 6 weeks. And the fact that we made it through those 6 weeks and to the retreat and through the retreat is just absolutely amazing. And just give all the glory to God. And I encourage anyone that thinks they don't need spiritual cleansing to just go through it and do it. Because I found out a lot about myself that I didn't realize and I didn't know. And my things are guilt, shame, offense, and rejection. And most of those I really didn't think I had. But they were very clear, and God revealed that to me. And I just thank Him for that. And thank everybody for cleansing streams.
Hallelujah. All right, we got one more.
I have to ask him to come up here with me because I get nervous. And I'm sure some of you guys know my accent. So I'm from Mexico City. I came to the United States when I was 10 or 11. And God really works in a mysterious way. And we always wonder why. And, 2006, I lost my kidneys. I did dialysis for 5 years. It was so sad because I saw a lot of people dying. And I used to ask God, am I going to die too? And I continued doing dialysis. I did drugs. I did a lot of stuff in my life. But I knew that God loved me. And in 2011, I received the Holy Ghost in 2005, but I didn't continue going to church. I gave up, and I really felt the Holy Ghost. I remember the day when when the Holy Ghost came to me. He picked me up like a feather, up in the air, then He dropped me down very slowly, and I said, "Well, thank you, God." And I was a new man, but I didn't follow God. I let him go again. And in 2011, I went for a doctor appointment, and they found it positive with drugs. So they told me, "Nope, you're not going to be able to get a kidney." And I said, "Okay, well," they told me, "you got 6 months. If in 6 months you can prove it that you're clean, you're going to get your kidney. You want to go back on the list." The list is more than 3,000 people. I think up to 5,000, something like that. Anyways, so I asked God for help. He helped me stay clean. And then around the 8th month of 2011, He spoke to me. He told me, "You're going to get a kidney." I mean, like, okay. So, no big deal. So, in 2 months later, I got a call from, he told me, "You're going to get a kidney by the end of the year." I said, "Well," that's when I said, "Okay." So, by the 10th month, I got a call from the UNM hospital in Albuquerque. They told me, "We got a kidney for you." And I told him, "Nah, you're playing with me, nah. She told me, "Nope, I'm serious." And, I thought she was still playing with me. So then she told me, "You got to be here 6 p.m. Like, nah. So then she told me, "This is for reals." So I started crying right away because God promised me the kidney. And for some of you people, when God talks to you, listen to him. Because I was one of those people that didn't listen to him. But even though I did so many wrong things in my life, he still loves me so much. And yesterday, you know, my friend Renee keeps getting me, she invited me over. I wasn't expecting to be free from this demon from 8 years ago. I mean, when I was eight, this demon has been in my body. It grew with me. And yesterday, I got rid of him.
That's right.
And you know what? God confirmed that to me. When I was praying, okay, God got rid of the demon. And then later on, they asked me, where did he go? I told him, he went to the bottom of the ocean. And maybe like 5 minutes later, it was confirmed that he was down in the bottom of the ocean. He will never come back again and hurt anybody in my family.
That's right.
So I thanks everybody for helping me and not giving up. And this morning, God revealed to me, my dad is a pastor in Mexico City now. And he told me, you got to take some of these scriptures to him so he can teach those people about it. So that's my mission now. So here from Pagosa Spring, now he's going to travel to Mexico City. Oh, man.
Where the demon that he was talking about came from was some curses that was put on him from the time he was a little boy. And we broke the curses, and the demon had no choice but to leave. So it was a pleasure working with him yesterday. He's got an incredible spirit. God's going to do a lot of things through him.
Lucino.
So let's be praying for Lucino as he goes on this mission of taking it to Mexico City, okay? This fellowship has a heart for Mexico anyway. So we can join him in that. Thank you. Thank you.
My name's Terry, and I'm from Grand Junction, Colorado. And this is actually my second year at Cleansing Stream. And it's, I told my husband, I said, I cried pints instead of gallons this year, but that's good because that means that all the stuff that I got sloughed off last year has stayed off. So, I mean, it's growing and stuff. And so what came up for me this year is rejection and resentment. And I wasn't feeling, you know, I mean, I didn't realize that I was really feeling that, but that's what God brought to me yesterday through the session and stuff like that. And I came up to the anointer, and we did the rejection prayer, broke down the walls and stuff like that, and the anointer had prayed the prayer, you know, prayed a prayer over me with rejection. And I said, well, I was going to have you pray for my shoulder and my hip, which have been chronic, you know, issues for me. I said, but they're already feeling better. So, I mean, I would... It's just a testimony to what the gentleman was talking about in the video about how that stuff affects our life. And so already today, I'm already hearing different messages from the Lord and getting different guidance and stuff. And it's like God's love and the love that he has for all of us. And I can tell my friend that I love you. And I want them to feel better because I love them, but now I'm going to start telling them that God loves them because he loves in a perfect love, and my love is not perfect. And so I'm just really grateful to have this new door opened and see this stuff. So thank you all.
Hallelujah. Yes. Okay. Next.
Hi, I'm Shelley Porter, and I'm from Denver. And... I think when I first heard about Cleansing Streams, I thought it was wonderful, but I didn't have time for it. So when a friend prompted me this time to that it would be coming up, I considered it, but felt overwhelmed. So I gave it to God, and he showed me pictures of my grandbaby and my children, that I needed to do it for them. And I thought I was right with God. But through this process, it's been a struggle. My back started coming some issues with my back started happening and making it difficult, and schedules and, you know, life. So I just kept persisting, and I felt like God was just bringing me into a new relationship with him, and like I could share God's love with other people that I hadn't before in new ways. Like some of my family, especially my mom. And he would bring up different things that I, as it would, the topic would come up, like rejection and shame, and I would cry about them, and he would reveal these convicting ways or something that I did or said to someone else. And he would bring them up, and then we would pray about them, and I would feel cleansed and cleaned, and offenses, you know, it was just like something that I carried that I thought I was right with God, but he just, the process of going through it was so, so cleansing and cleaning, and God's revealing his love in these amazing ways. And a critical spirit, I thought I was accepting and loving, and he just revealed to me that I was more critical, and I don't want to be. So God I just cried that through and repented, and the Lord had these wonderful teams that they would just individually pray with you, and the shame that I felt after feeling those, recognizing those things that I carried as well, and the feeling of cleaning that shame away, that it's gone, and that God's love is. Yes, praise you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
she
you.
Is free. Look at that. She is
free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Well, my name is Dina Lopez, and I am from Santa Fe, New Mexico, and this is my first cleansing stream I've ever come to. And I got to tell you, boy, yesterday I must have cried a river. I cried and cried and cried. And so today, the Lord said, you will not be crying today, you will be rejoicing. So I am rejoicing today. But my one of the things that I was caught up in is that I said yesterday that one of my siblings passed away about 3.5 years ago, and he was married, of course, and he was kind of going through a little bit of a struggle with his wife, and his wife wanted a divorce and this and that, and before you know it, he started just deteriorating, because that was the worst part for him, was divorce. And so I had this blame in my heart towards her, and such an anger, you know, that how dare her, you know, break God's covenant and do this to my brother, because he passed away with a broken heart. But I gotta say, which I didn't say yesterday, is that prior to his passing, we were raised Catholic, and so I would try to lead him to the Lord all the time. And when he was probably like 2 weeks before, you know, he was passing away, he said, I want to be led to the Lord. Can you help me out? And so I said, yes. Oh, I was so rejoiceful then. Thank you, Lord. And so we did the prayer of salvation, and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he was raised on the cross on the third day, and so he was saved. So that was the most important thing for me. After that, I was like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord, for, even though in the midst of this ugliness of divorce, here was something so beautiful. And so yesterday, with all the crying and everything that the Lord revealed to me, he revealed to me that, of course, it wasn't her fault. You know, it wasn't her fault, but I was so caught up with that, you know, how dare you, and so I had put blame on my back of my card. But today, like I say, I'm not walking the walk of shame. I'm rejoicing today, and when I get back to Santa Fe, we are going to be having a baby shower, and I'm going to pull her aside and share with her God's word and what he spoke to me. So thanks so much, everybody.
Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yesterday morning, as we started the day, Al led everybody through an altar call for somebody that maybe had not accepted Christ. We had 4 people that accepted Christ yesterday. Hallelujah.
Let me just encourage you. This is the DNA of this fellowship. If you have never been to one of these one-day events, we need you next year. If you've gone before and would love to be an intercessor, please let me know. Don't wait for an invitation from me, because I may not always remember everybody that's been and think about inviting you. But I want you to know right now you are invited. So just let me know, okay?
All right, this morning, I'm going to take 5 minutes, and then we're going to have communion together. Mark is going to lead us in that. But the title of this, what I want to share with you, is No Longer Ashamed. Oh, we got it right here. So, Scott, I'm going to go very quickly through this. So just, if you can, just follow me quickly. In Psalm 34, verse 5, it says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The they that is being spoken of there are the men that were with David in the cave of Adullam. And they had come from Jerusalem, and they were the rejects of Jerusalem to be in David's army. And it said they were not ashamed. Why weren't they ashamed? Because they looked to him. To who? To God. Not to David, but to God. And their faces were not ashamed. They were radiant. You see, we carry shame of face many, many times. And that's... shame is how we feel about ourselves because of what we have done or what has been done to us. That's what shame is. We have veils of our face. There's a veil over our face, and Scripture talks about that in Daniel 9 as well as Ezra 9. Daniel 9 says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. And then Ezra 9:6, oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift my face to you. But you see, when God takes that shame away, then what happens? Wow. There's a freedom. The shame goes. And many of you, almost all of the testimonies that we heard yesterday and this morning, in one way or another, were connected to this whole issue of shame for whatever reason. What is guilt? Guilt is how we feel about things that we have done. That's the good side of guilt. In a sense, God brings conviction. We have a sense of conviction about the things that have not been consistent with the nature and character of God, and we feel guilty. That part is good. But once we have submitted to God and confessed our sin before him, and we still feel guilty, that's false guilt. That's the wrong kind of guilt. And so that's the kind of guilt that God wants to rid us of. Is that false guilt? Then there's condemnation. The accusing voice of the enemy saying that we are unworthy. Many of us, even right here this morning, still have that voice of saying, your name really is unworthy. No. God is saying, no, 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 no. I've given you a new name. Your name is more than worthy. In fact, is your name, your new name, is just as worthy as my name is. That's what God is saying to you right now. Conviction, God's invitation to forgiveness and reconciliation. And yesterday, when we looked at this Isaiah 61, verse 7, it says, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so this morning, what we want to do is to, again, submit all that we have conviction about the false guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the judgment and everything that we feel that just is loading us down. We want to get rid of that. And so, Mark, why don't you come? And there's a little demonstration of this that is so significant that we want to share with you this morning.
All right. Ryan, will you come up to the keyboards? And we're going to take communion at the end of this little demonstration. And so, but let's don't hand out the elements. So you guys that are going to take care of the communion, I want everybody to be able to focus on this, to see this, and then, so we'll take communion right at the end of it. But what happened was God really brought something fresh to us about what he actually did for us. And so we're going to do kind of like a little skit, so you can really sort of visually get a feel for something. And then we're going to take communion to celebrate this. So this is when you and I were saved. We came before the high court of heaven. We stood before the good and righteous judge. On one side stood our accuser, the devil, and the other side our advocate, Jesus. And the judge said, "What are the charges?" And the accuser began to list our sins and our faults one after the other. Right? And they were true. What he was reading was true. And after he finished reading off all those sins, the judge said, "How do you plead?" And before I could even state a word, my advocate Jesus said, "She is guilty on all counts." And the judge said, "The sentence is death." Then an amazing thing took place. My advocate stood between me and the judge and said, "Father, you know I went to the cross to pay for her sins. She's placed her faith and trust in me, believing that I carried her sins to the cross." The judge said, "Yes, my son, I know. She is given a full pardon." This is the work of the cross. Christ stood between us and the righteous judge and took our sins. And so now we can enter into his presence, right? So we want to demonstrate something else about this. And the scripture says in Hebrews, "My dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter to God's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way." And we are absolutely welcome to come into his presence. God is all about access for us. And so we come into his courtroom now. And this is us now. We carry this burden sometimes, right? So we come into his courtroom and he recognizes us and says, "Yes, my child, what can I do for you?" And you might say, "Father, I know you're completely faithful and good. I've been carrying a weight for some time." Right? Guilt, shame, condemnation, accusations, resentment. And it's destroying me. I don't know what to do with it other than to come to you. I've been abused. I've been hurt. I've been wrongfully accused. I've been misunderstood. But I choose to be forgiving, and I've come to ask for forgiveness. I've come to you for release and for justice. The judge says, "You've come to the right place. Turn your case over to me, for I'm good and I'm just. I'll take all your pain, all your anger, all your shame, all your condemnation, all your guilt. I'll take it all." Right? And I'll bring justice. I'll even take those offenders and I'll seek to bring them to repentance if they're still alive. Right? However, you need to know something. Once you turn your case over to me, you can't enter my courtroom and question me again about this. Once it's been released to me, don't take it back. Right? Because I'm going to relieve you of your burden. And I'm going to do what is right. So if you guys want to hand out the communion, because we're coming into God's courtroom, and we can do it. We can come right before God because of what Christ did for us. We can just be as bold as whatever. We can just be crazy bold. We can come right to God with this junk, with this burden, with this weight, we can go right to Him. We don't have to feel like He's not going to accept us because of what Christ did. And this communion is so powerful. It's this little thing of juice and a cracker, right? But what it represents is incalculable. It's astonishing what it represents. It represents us going right to the throne room of God and saying, I have this junk, I have this burden, it's been weighing me down, it's been ruining my life, it's been ruining my perception, it's been ruining my relationships, my marriage, it's been ruining how I get along with my kids. And God says, just, I'll take that from you, no problem. I'm happy to take that from you, bring it to my court and leave it with me. And when we take communion today, this is an act of faith. This little thing represents something, and it's an act of faith that God is going to meet us, that He is going to be there at the point of our belief. He meets us at the point of our need. He meets us at the point of our expectation. And if we believe God is there for us, He is there for us. Right? So I'm going to let Ryan do a little singing, and then we're going to take communion together. Then I'll lead us in our ministry time.
He loves us and does.